Welcome. Grace and peace to each of you as we gather today in this way, in this space, searching for God through art. It's a privilege to have Catherine Fenton. And as I've said, we're going to have a chapel with Catherine Fenton today, and we have some of her artwork up there. People are scratching their head and saying, who? And I said, well, she is newly married, so she was a Catherine Hamilton. And I said, oh, yeah, we know who she is. So it's a privilege to have her and her art on our wall downstairs, so please take time to contemplate and view it and enjoy it and let it take you to where the Spirit will invite you. She is in her second year here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. She's working on a Master of Arts in Religion with a concentration in art. She studied studio art at Messiah College for 2 years before transferring to Eastern Mennonite University to complete a Bachelor of Arts in Studio Art. Catherine will give more background in terms of why she chose seminary as she shares with us today. She also will be leading us in a Visio Divina. As we know, the Holy Spirit speaks in many languages, and one of those languages is in the form of art. The Lectio Divino is divine reading, where we listen to the scripture and it speaks to us. So it's along that same line, Visio Divina invites us in to see how God is revealed through a variety of images. These images that invite us into a process of coming to know God, which I'm sure Catherine will relate to her story and her art. So we're coming to know God through the Visio Divina. Invite you to just be open and to listen and to be present to God at work here among us today.
1 Samuel 7, verses 3 through 12. Then Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Astartes from among you. Direct your heart to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So Israel put away the Baals and the Astartes, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. They fasted that day, and said, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, and pray that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as beyond Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshana and named it Ebenezer, for he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us."
God of all life, we thank you for the signs of your love that surround us. For sun and warmth and all that comes to life within creation. For all that sleeps in the earth awaiting birth. We praise you for the wisdom of your care, water on the earth, sunlight in our spirits, hands on blinded eyes. Continue to touch us as we raise our Ebenezer and open our ears to hear your voice around us, our eyes to see the color and texture of life, minds to think thoughts after you, and hearts to respond, that we may know your love and grace and rise to new life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. This hymn has always moved me and convicted me and strengthened me. The Ebenezer is a visible monument declaring that God was here. God brought us here. God's mercy, faithfulness, and love has brought me to this place, Stone of Help. I have always resonated with the idea of a visual reminder to ourselves and a testimony to others that God has been active in this space or in this person. I try to portray God through my artwork. Sometimes I don't even have a choice. I step back from the canvas and I see a completed work. My soul is praising the Lord and it has somehow been captured. That piece right there, Then Sings My Soul, is an example. I have no idea how it happened. I don't remember much. It was a beautiful day. Nothing special had necessarily happened, but I was in a worshipful place, and I stepped back, and I know it sounds weird, but it told me, Then Sings My Soul, and I heard it. I heard the song, and I knew God had been there with me. In a way, my work is an Ebenezer. I attempt to capture where God has brought me, whether it's a place in my life or a new understanding of God. I started my search for God in art when I was deciding what college to go to. I was dead set on studying fashion design. I visited colleges, the top art schools that had a fashion program. But the more I saw, the more I felt that this was not a good way to go. The atmosphere was not a good place. The shiny high-tech facilities and the art boot camps didn't seem to have any room for religious expression. I'm an extreme introvert. So I knew that this would hinder my artistic voice and therefore affect the quality of art that I would produce. I would merely be stifled. I decided that maybe I would sacrifice being in a large, well-known art school in order to be in a safe place where my message was just as important as my art technique. So I went to Messiah College. I loved it. It was awesome. And after 2 years, I transferred here for different personal reasons to EMU. But even then, some of my earliest pieces, I couldn't get away from having a message in my art. The first piece that I remember, we had to do a transition drawing. We had to turn one object into another. So, of course, the only thing I thought of was turn a sword into a plowshare. Sadly, a couple of my colleagues, I guess, students didn't get it, which is interesting. Being at an art school meant that I had to wrestle with what being a Christian artist means. It's been narrowly defined in the art world and ridiculed by many art critiques throughout art history. I believe that what I do glorifies God. I'm using the gifts that He gave me to show the world a different way of looking at His creation. I am seeking to show a different way of looking at God. That, I believe, is what a Christian artist is. It doesn't necessarily have to be overtly Christian. This question and my cross-cultural to Lithuania led me to my senior show, Mater Dei Ancia Domini, Mother of God, Handmaiden of the Lord. I did as much research and theological study as I did artwork. And this was kind of a new idea for me. The amount of research I put into it was really interesting. People told me that they were shocked that this was the end result of my work. The quality of work that was produced was unexpected for them. I could have taken this as an insult, but to me, it told me that I had finally found my voice. After college, I was at a loss. Working on my senior show, I felt like I had figured out what I wanted to do with my art, but I didn't know how to do it. I immediately applied for master's programs, because that's what you do. That's kind of your PhD in art as a master's program. I didn't get in. I was relieved. My intentions were not what they should have been. I kept painting or doing whatever I could. And then, again, I thought it was time to go back to school. I looked at so many different programs all over the place. Nothing excited me. I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was in a box. So my mother, the wonderful networker that she really is, for those of you who actually know her, gave me the number of a department chair in the art department at JMU. We met and talked about options. What programs make it easier to get a job? What kind of jobs do the different degrees offer themselves to? And what is the atmosphere like at grad school at JMU? One of the last questions she asked me is one I'll never forget. She asked me, "What kind of art do you do?" I explained to her that I believe art should have a message. And being a Christian colors all the work that I do. I told her about my senior show. I was just rambling, and she was patiently listening. When I was done, she simply said, "Well, sounds to me like you should study theology, not art." Okay, that's not what I had planned on, and my brother's a theologian. He's getting his PhD at Notre Dame, so how could I possibly go into this? She told me that my eyes lit up when I was talking about the theology in my art. She got excited then. She was thinking about all the different possibilities. She recommended that I look for a seminary or theology program that would allow me to integrate my art, since, sadly, that's easier, and they would be more open to the idea than an art program integrating theology. Then I was about to jump out of my seat. The more I thought about this, which was probably a whole 5 seconds, the more I realized this is what God was calling me to do. This was exciting. I couldn't wait to get home, and I applied to both the Mennonite seminaries. And through a couple of months, everything seemed to fall into place. So I'm in seminary. What now? Truth is, I really don't know. I followed God here. It's not easy for an artist to come in and study theology. It's a completely different language. And I express myself differently. Words are hard. I still don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what this is going to lead me to. I do know that I wouldn't dream of being anywhere else. I've tried to think of something else, but nothing excites me still like this does, even though it's terrifying. What I do know is that I'm called to speak my faith through art. Icons are theology in image form. It communicates God. Why can't I do that? Why can't I write Mennonite theology in paint? When I begin a painting, I am entering into worship. My act of creating is glorifying God. As I am painting, I am praying, asking God for guidance and conveying the beauty of his creation and the wonders of his relationship with us. I often read for guidance and illumination. I'm also known to randomly ask bizarre questions. If I'm working through a piece or a tricky bit of theology, I remember asking my dad and my brother after dinner sitting outside, "What is the color of the Holy Spirit?" I was working on a piece and I couldn't figure it out. Dad, of course, said it's the color of fire. Awesome. Fire has like a million colors. So that's not very helpful. And I think we've pretty much beaten the dead horse on that one. I avoid cliches if at all possible. So after a lot of talking and going in circles and discussing the relationship of the Trinity, I came to the conclusion that God was black and white and all the colors that make it up. God is the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. It will only make sense that he should be both black and white, because light, when is broken, you see all the colors of the rainbow. But it's the same in pigment. All the colors, when mixed together, create black. So that painting, it was discussing the relationship of the Holy Spirit to us, held within the Trinity, which is still something I need to work on, but that was commissioned by Rise Church. So I assume it's hanging up there. My artwork is me searching for God. It is my Ebenezer. My search for God is rather unorthodox, especially in the Mennonite Church. And I don't know where God is leading me. I do know that as I'm searching, I find God in art. Others find God and healing in my work and other artists' work. I was up in D.C. this weekend, and Barnett Newman, I'm sure most of you don't actually know who Barnett Newman is. He's an abstract painter who did a series of Stations of the Cross. And just by looking at it, it looks like he painted a strip on the canvas. But I think it really conveys something to people who take the time and look and interact with the piece. And he was unapologetic that it was his understanding of God's crying out, of Christ crying out to God. And that gave me more hope that if somebody in history has done this, even though many artists have been attacked for being even the slight amount of religious, then I can do it inside the church. So I will give you a moment to meditate on some of the pieces I have up here. And after a bit, I'd love to hear how some of you search for God in possibly unorthodox ways, or where you find him. If you have an Ebenezer.
Thank you, Catherine, for engaging us in color and texture. Bless you. Now may you go into the day noticing the Visio Divinas around you, and be sure to walk in God's grace as you notice. Go in peace.